We're going to read the Word of God just now. Our scripture reading is taken from Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read from verse 1. And we're going to read down to verse 17. The book of Romans, of course, was written to the saints at Rome, to God's people. And it's very important that we understand that when we read these epistles. These epistles were not just sent to church-going people. They were sent to the saints of God. And there's a big difference, you know. A big difference. You can go to church all your life and know nothing of these wonderful truths that are being taught here. You can sit in church from now until you die. And whether you live until you're 50 or 150, they could mean nothing to you. And here the Apostle Paul is writing to the saints of God, those who have been saved and redeemed by the blood of Christ. Are you saved tonight? Are you redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? If you're not, these words are not spoken to you. Very important that we make the distinction between the saved and the unsaved. My friend, if the day ever comes when the preacher, the minister in this church fails to make the distinction between the saved and the unsaved, that's the time you need to close the door. At least get him out of the pulpit anyway. There is a distinction to be made. And if you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, you're not among the redeemed of God. And these words here are not for you. Now, they could be for you if you come and accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. If you step out by faith and trust the Lord. These words could be yours. And my prayer tonight is that before you leave the meeting this evening, that you'll become a child of God. Because these words are telling us about the child of God. Look what it says about the child of God in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There we have the distinguishing mark. God's people are those who are in Christ Jesus. We're born in this world out of Christ. Without God, without hope, and without Christ. The moment someone is saved, they become in Christ. In other words, they become a part of the family of God. Part of the family of God. And here right at the beginning of this chapter, Paul is emphasizing those who are a part of the family of God. My friend, are you a part of the family of God tonight? Because if you're not a part of the family of God, you're a part of the family of the devil. Because there's only two types of people. Those who are the children of God or those who are the children of wrath. The children of wrath. But Paul here writes to those who are saved. And he very quickly in this chapter says this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. My friend, does the Spirit of God dwell in you if you're born again? If you have been adopted into the family of God, then the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You see the distinction again? How the Lord, through his servant here, makes this distinction between those who are saved and those who are not saved. Those who are in the family of God and those who are outside the family of God. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. In other words, if the Spirit of God is not within you, if the Spirit of Christ is not within you, then you're not in the family of God. And if Christ be in you, verse 10, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now look at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, even the child of God will suffer. Even the child of God will go through the valley. And the Apostle Paul here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, clearly teaches that. But dear child of God, if you're going through the valley at this present moment, or if you go through the valley at some time in the future, remember this, that all the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In other words, when we get into heaven, all our sufferings upon this old earth will fall into insignificance compared to the glory that God has prepared for them that love him. Heaven is a wonderful place, but we'll not know the half until we get there. May God bless his word, and may the Lord write his word upon our hearts. Good to see you in the meeting tonight. We welcome you in the Saviour's precious name. If you're visiting with us, give you a very warm welcome. And we pray that the Lord will bless and speak to all of our hearts. Please turn again to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, we read these words. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee tonight for thy presence with us in this meeting. We pray, Lord, as we come to consider thy word, come to the close of the service tonight, Lord, that you would have a word in season for all of our hearts. Bless your own people, encourage your saints, and Lord, speak to the dear unsaved that's in the meeting tonight. And O God, reveal unto them their great need of God's salvation. We just commit our way to thee now. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Over these past number of Sunday nights when I have preached, we have been considering different aspects of God's salvation. We have considered so far faith, saving faith, what it means to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Then we considered evangelical repentance, and we noticed the importance and the necessity of repentance in salvation. We looked also at regeneration, what happens when you put your faith in Christ, and when you repent of your sin and you're saved, then the new birth takes place in your life and you're born again of the Spirit of God. And then flowing from that, we considered justification, how that when you're saved, your sins are forgiven, and not only forgiven but forgotten by God. Indeed, the Bible tells us, we emphasize the truth that God casts our sin into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. Tonight, we want to look at this wonderful subject of adoption. Once you're saved, not only are you regenerated, Not only are your sins forgiven, but once you're saved, you're adopted into the family of God. Adoption is one of those wonderful truths that we have recorded in the Bible. But the sad thing is that many of God's people know very little about it. And yet of all the doctrines that we have in the Scriptures, adoption is one of those that every true saint of God should understand and study in more detail. Because not only will a thorough examination of this truth thrill your heart and thrill your soul, but it will also establish you stronger in the faith. And surely that ought to be the desire of every child of God, to be stronger established in the faith. And I just pray tonight as we come to look at this subject, simply that the Lord will bless your heart, child of God. And also, if you're not saved tonight, that the Lord will speak to your soul. My friend, do you realize that you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ to be saved? Do you realize tonight that you need to repent of your sin in order to find forgiveness? Do you realize tonight that you need the new birth? You need to be regenerated by the Spirit of God. You need to be born again. Do you realize tonight that you need your sins forgiven? And do you realize tonight that before you leave this scene of time, you must be adopted into the family of God? Now, I know there's a gospel going about today, and it tells us that we're all in the family of God. My friend, we're not all in the family of God. We have all been born into this world outside the family of God because we have been born in our sin and shapen in iniquity. And if you have never experienced the new birth and never experienced salvation and never experienced regeneration and never had your sins forgiven, if you have never come to that place in your life where by faith you accepted Christ as your Savior and repented of your sin, then you know nothing of being in the family and the fold of God. As we come to look at this subject of adoption, there's a number of things that I want you to notice that I want to point out to you. Now, we will be quoting from other portions of Scripture tonight. Portions of Scripture that are very important, of course, to the subject that we're dealing with. But I pray that you'll listen very carefully, especially if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. I pray that God will take His word and write it upon your heart. First of all, I want you again to notice the scriptural meaning of adoption. In these studies, we have looked very simply at the meaning of faith, the meaning of repentance, the meaning of regeneration, the meaning of justification. Well, again, we have to take a look at the meaning of adoption. What does it mean to be adopted into the family of God? There's a little verse over in Galatians 4 and verse 5, and this is what it says. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, then verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. What a wonderful text of Scripture that is. When the Bible speaks about adoption, the Bible is speaking about those who have been adopted into God's family. Therefore, every person in this meeting tonight who are saved by God's grace, born again of God's Holy Spirit, have been adopted into the family of God. In other words, we are the children of God. God is our Father, Jesus Christ is our elder brother, heaven is our home, and our new position that we have been adopted into will never change, because those whom the Son sets free are free indeed. Take a look there at Romans chapter 8 and the verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The moment a sinner gets saved, the very moment the sinner repents of their sin and by faith accepts Christ as their Savior, at that moment, not only are their sins forgiven, Not only does the Holy Spirit enter into them, but they're adopted into the family and into the fold of God. Look what it says in John chapter 1. Just turn over to John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Look what it says. As many as received him. Now that's speaking about conversion. That's speaking about God's salvation. Because once you get saved, you receive Christ into your heart as your own and personal Savior. We have already noticed that. The jailer cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Repent and believe the gospel." And here in John 1, we're reading about that moment of conversion, that moment of salvation, that moment when the sinner comes, realizing he's the sinner, recognizing and only Christ can save him, crying unto God for mercy. In other words, receiving Christ by faith. For that's how you're saved. As many as received him, to them, to who? To those that receive him, to those that are saved. To them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What a tremendous text of scripture that is, because it is revealing unto us what happens at conversion. At conversion, the sinner is taken out of the family of hell, out of the family of the devil, and brought into the family of God. Brought into the family and the fold of heaven. Now, you've all heard my testimony, and I'm not going to go over it again tonight. Just to say that I was saved on the 13th of September 1976. That night I was saved. I was brought out of the family of darkness, and I was brought into the family of light. I was adopted into the family of God. And that was made possible because of what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished upon the cross of Calvary. We have already read that in Galatians 4. Let me read it again, verse 4. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In other words, because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he shed his precious blood, because he finished the work of redemption, God made it possible for me, a hell guilty sinner, a child of wrath, a child of the devil, to enter into his family and to be adopted into his family. And the day I received Christ as my Savior was the day when God brought me into his family. My friend, can you look back to the day in your life when you were brought into the family of God? I don't care how religious you are. I don't care how many times you go to church. I'm not asking you, have you read the Bible? I'm not asking you, do you say prayers every night? I'm not asking you, my friend, have you been brought up in a Christian atmosphere? All those things are good in their place. I'm asking you, can you look back to the day in your life, a specific time in your life, when you were adopted into the family of God? Are you a child of God tonight? You're not a child of God because you go to church. You're not a child of God because you're religious. You're not a child of God because you're full of good works. You're a child of God because there was a day in your life when you took the sinner's place. You confessed your sinnership before God. You recognized that you needed a Savior. And you cried unto God for mercy. And you cried, like the old publican, "God be merciful to me, the sinner." Can you look back to a day in your life when you repented of your sin and by faith believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? Can you? Well, if you can, then you have been adopted into the family of God. Adoption means being brought out of the family of hell into the family of God. Adoption means being brought out of the family of darkness into the family of light. And thank God, the moment the sinner comes to Christ, they're adopted into God's family. The scripture plainly teaches us that as soon as a sinner is converted to Christ, he is adopted into the family of God, and he becomes a son in that family with all the rights and privileges which flow from that glorious position. Scriptural adoption means being brought into the heavenly family of God, not to be there as a stranger or a second-class citizen, but to be there as a son or a daughter of the God of heaven. Look exactly what it says in Romans 8, verse 17. And if children, in other words, if we're children, the children of God, there's our adoption. If we're children, in other words, if we're God's children, then we are heirs. Heirs with God. And joint heirs with Christ. My, what a wonderful truth. What a wonderful truth, child of God. Just think about it. You and I who are saved, someday we're going to reign with Christ and be in God's presence for all eternity. But even before that wonderful event takes place, at this very moment, as we are gathered here tonight, God by His grace and mercy has seen fit to adopt us into His family and to call us His sons and His daughters. And the devil and all the demons in hell can't take that blessing from us tonight. It's not something to rejoice about. It's not something to praise the Lord about. Why, we were thinking this morning about the obstacles that the child of God has to face. But I'll tell you, there's something that the child of God will never have to face. And that will be banished from God's presence for all eternity. My friend, we don't have to face wondering whether we're going to be in heaven or not. I don't have to face that obstacle or that barrier or that valley. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven because God has made me an heir and a joint heir with Christ. I know I'm going to heaven because God has brought me into His family. I'm in the family of God tonight. My friend, would you not like to be in the family of God? To go home to heaven with the people of God? To reign throughout all eternity with the saints of God? Would you not like to know and have that assurance? Why, I don't understand people who come to church and listen to the gospel and they're not saved. I just don't understand you, friend. Because here in the Bible, God offers you His wonderful salvation. He offers it to you freely and fully. You don't have to pay for it. He's not looking any payment for this wonderful salvation because it's the gift. God offers this wonderful salvation to you as a gift tonight. And all you have to do in order to receive this gift is to take it. And you can take and receive this gift tonight. For as many as received Him, to them, the Bible tells us, gives He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's what is meant by adoption. Are you adopted into God's family? Now, there's some things I want you to notice here. I want you to notice, secondly, the saints' privileges in adoption. Now, I'm just going to run through them here very quickly. As soon as a sinner is adopted and brought into the family of God, they receive many wonderful privileges and blessings. Time, of course, would not allow me to go into all the privileges which result in the sinner's adoption into the heavenly family, but let me seek to point out some of them. First of all, we have been given God's name. Those of us who are saved tonight have the privilege of bearing the name of Christ. What a glorious privilege this is. When a child, of course, is adopted by earthly parents and is legally registered as their son or daughter, he or she usually takes the name of the parents. It's the same in the spiritual adoption. God has brought us into His family and has given us the status of sons and the privilege of bearing His name. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 14 and 15. Let me read you those words. You should underline them in your Bible. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven," speaking of the family of God, speaking of those who have been adopted into God's family, "the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And what is the name of names which every child of God bears? It is the name of Christ. In Acts 11, verse 26, it says this, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. My friend, do you ever wonder why we're called Christians? Christians? That word Christian means Christ-like. He has given us his name. The day we were saved, we became a Christian. You know, I know that that word Christian is very loosely used today. Everybody's a Christian. Even people who don't go to church claim to be Christian. They tell us we're living in a Christian country. Friend, there's no such a thing as a Christian country. This is a heathen world we're living in. And Ulster's a heathen country. And Britain's a heathen country. No, no. When the Bible talks about Christians, the Bible is talking about those who have been adopted into the family of God and have been given the name of Christ. What a privilege to bear the name of our Savior. Another privilege, we have received God's Holy Spirit within us. Romans 8 verse 15, listen to these words. These are verses you should write down, child of God, and go over them later. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 4 verse 6 says, and because ye are sons, God hath sent the spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. What a wonderful privilege that each saint of God we have received the Spirit of God within us. Isn't that a wonderful privilege? We have been born from above. And of course, we have already discovered that when we considered the doctrine of regeneration. The moment we're saved, the Spirit of God enters into us. We're born of God. That's what it means to be born of God. God's Holy Spirit dwells within us. You see, that's the difference between the child of God and the non-Christian. That's the difference between the saint and the sinner. As far as the saint of God is concerned, Spirit of God now dwells within us. That's what it means to be born again. And this is one of the privileges of those who have been adopted into the family and the fold of God. God's Holy Spirit dwells within us. Another privilege that we receive when we're adopted into the family of God is that we become conformed to God's image. We're being conformed to God's image. When we become the sons and daughters of God, the Holy Spirit who has entered into our hearts and lives begins to conform us, or if you like, begins to change us into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Romans 8 verse 29, look at that verse. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, listen to this verse. But we all, speaking again to God's people, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, God's plan for each one of his people is that they should be like him. And thank God, when we see him, we shall be like him, because there's coming the day when we shall be conformed completely into his image. 1 John 3 verse 2. Let me throw this verse at you. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, the privileges of being a Christian, the privilege of being saved. God gives us his name. God gives us his Holy Spirit. We become more like Christ. The Lord lives within us. And then there's another blessing. We're going to share his glory. Look at Romans 8 verse 17 again. For if children and then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Oh, someday, dear child of God, you and I will sit with Christ on his throne and enjoy him throughout the countless ages of eternity. And we, as joint heirs with him, shall share his glory. Oh, what a privilege. What a privilege. What a privilege someday to share in the glory of our blessed Redeemer. You see, the Lord, when he died upon the cross, has purchased for us eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. My friend, I wonder tonight, you're in this meeting and you're not saved and you're not a Christian, would you not like to enter in to these wonderful privileges that God has given to his people? And you can, you know, tonight. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved tonight. You can be adopted into God's family tonight. You can receive his name. You can leave this place as a Christian, as a saved person, as a redeemed child of God. You can leave this place tonight with the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, born from above. You can leave this place tonight conformed to his image. You can leave this place tonight with new desires, with a new burden, with a new zeal. You can leave this place tonight with the knowledge that you're going to heaven. You see, that's one of the privileges of the child of God, the one that has been adopted into the family of God. God gives his saints the assurance that they're on their way to heaven. That's why the Apostle Paul, after he was saved, he could say that he had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which was far better. Paul knew that he was going to heaven before he died, and all of the saints of God had that knowledge. How did they have that knowledge? Because his Spirit beareth witness with their spirit that they were the sons of God. My friend, isn't it wonderful that the Lord confirms to us our sonship, that the Lord confirms to us our place in heaven, that the Lord confirms to us that we're the saints of God. You know, the wee Scottish woman said it's better felt than telt, and she was right. I could stand here and I could explain to you what it means to be saved from now to the cows come home. Friend, until you experience God's salvation for yourself, you're never really going to understand it. That's why the Bible invites you to come. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Would you not come tonight? Would you not trust him? And would you not enter into the family and the fold of God? You know, the judgment day is going to be a very sad day. Because on the judgment day, it's going to be a day of separation. Now, we all live together. We all come to church together. We all go to work together. I'm sure, and we have to live together in this world. But my friend, on the day of judgment, there's going to be a great separation. And God's going to separate his children, and he's going to place them on the right-hand side. And he's going to separate them from the unsaved. And he's going to place them on the left-hand side. The Bible describes that event as the great harvest of this world. Matthew chapter 13. And all the tares which represent the unsaved are going to be gathered up. And they're going to be bundled together and they're going to be burned. But the good seed, the Lord's going to bring them into his spiritual barns, into heaven. It's going to be a sad day for many. My friend, on that day, will you be separated from your husband? Will you be separated from your wife? Will you be separated from your father, your mother? Will you be separated from your children? Oh, you're not separated down here on earth. You live together. We all have families. We love our families, whether they're saved or not saved. We love them and we pray for them. But the day is coming when there's going to be a separation, friend. A separation. And what an awful day that will be for those that are not saved, cast out into God's judgment forever. I'm glad I'm in the family of God. I'm glad I have been adopted into his family. All because of his grace and his mercy. All the privileges of the child of God. Sins forgiven. A home in heaven. Never to be in hell. God's Spirit dwelling within us. His name given to us. That's why God cannot deny me. Because he has given me his name. He has given me the greatest name that anyone could have.
because he has given me the name of his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now there's just one final thought, and with this I'm finished. I want you to notice the stern responsibilities of adoption. And of course, this point, I suppose, mainly is to God's people. When a child is adopted by earthly parents and is legally registered as their son or daughter, not only does he or she receive all the privileges of being a part of that family, but he or she also comes under their control and discipline, and great responsibilities are placed upon him or her. And of course, you would know that to be the case. If I adopt a child into my family, there's rules and regulations in my home. Well, it's the same when God adopts us into his family. So it is for those who are adopted spiritually into God's family, and even more so. For surely those of us who are the children of the King of Kings have greater responsibilities as those of earthly adopted children. And as we come to consider the responsibilities of the adopted, let us place the privileges that we have already looked at alongside the responsibilities. Now, I just want to read these out. The first thing we said there was that the adopted had been given God's name. Therefore, because we bear the name of Christ, child of God, let us remember that we have the responsibility of making sure that we do not bring dishonor upon that name. Because nothing hinders the work of God more than when Christians bring dishonor upon the name of their God. So you can see the responsibility there. The Lord has given us his name. He wants us to live for him. He wants us to shine for him. Because as we live for him and shine for him in our testimonies, then we bring glory to his name. But if we disobey his word and backslide and sin against him, then we bring shame upon his name. The Lord said to Ananias concerning Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9 verse 15, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." My, Paul, now that he had become a Christian, had the responsibility of bearing the name of Christ before the Gentiles and kings. And that responsibility is still ours today. 2 Timothy 2 verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Is there not responsibility there for us, child of God? I believe there is. Those that bear the name of Christ, the Bible says we're to depart from iniquity. And secondly, we said that the adopted had received God's Spirit. Therefore, we have the responsibility of making sure that we do not grieve the Spirit of God in our lives. Ephesians 4 verse 30 declares, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." See the responsibility? To be a child of God, there's a responsibility. Thirdly, we said that the adopted are being conformed to his image. Because of this, we have the responsibility to be submissive to the Lord in all things. There are many times in our Christian lives that we do not understand God's dealings with us. Things happen in our lives and perhaps we feel like asking why. But dear child of God, ours is not to reason why. We are to walk with God and seek his will. Can the thing formed say to the Creator, "Why hast thou formed me thus?" So we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to submit ourselves to the hand of the potter. Fourthly, we said that the adopted will share God's glory. Because of this, let us be humble by this wonderful prospect. You can see the responsibility. And I've just run through them quickly there just to emphasize the point that I want to make. Let me finish by asking you this question, my friend. In closing, have you been adopted into the family of God?
Do you bear his name? Are you saved by his grace? Are you on your way to heaven? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know that you're a child of God? Do you? Many people say, I hope I'm a child of God. My friend, let me emphasize this truth again. You're only a child of God if you can look back to a day in your life when you were adopted into God's family. You weren't adopted at baptism. You weren't adopted at confirmation. You weren't adopted when you quoted all the catechisms. You were adopted into his family if you have been adopted into his family because you repented of your sin and by faith accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you haven't been adopted into this wonderful family, then come tonight and thank God. The Lord will receive you. For as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm rejoicing tonight because of what the Lord has done for me. And I know that there are many here and they are rejoicing what the Lord has done for them. My friend, are you rejoicing tonight? Are you rejoicing tonight? Don't forget about the message. Don't try to block God's word out of your heart and out of your mind. Because friend, the day will come when you will stand before God and you wish you hadn't. You see, men are very foolish today. I suppose they've always been foolish when they've rejected the gospel. Because they think that by getting away from the meeting and getting away from under the sound of the gospel and getting away from under the influence of God's word, that in some way is going to prevent them from standing before God. But it'll not. It'll not. And my friend, you could leave this meeting tonight and think no more of the gospel and no more of your salvation and no more of your need of redemption for another 90 years until you die. God spared you. And then when that 90 years would be up, you die. And then immediately you're standing before God. Where has neglecting your salvation got you? Where has putting salvation out of your mind, where has it brought you? What have you benefited? You've benefited nothing. In fact, you've lost everything. And that's the reality of the truth that is contained in the Bible. My friend, you block it out. But someday God will bring it all back. But on the day of judgment, it'll be too late. Because you'll be standing before him as a condemned soul. And you'll be lost forever. That's why the Bible says, indeed Jesus says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. That's why you need to deal with these matters when God is speaking to your heart and soul. Don't put off thinking about these spiritual things. Come to Christ today. Because you put them off to your own peril. Because no matter what you believe, no matter what you think, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, from now to the day you die, should you even be able to block them out of your mind? And think no more of the gospel from this day until the judgment day. You will think about it when you stand before God. But on that day, it'll be too late. Because only those who have been adopted into the family and fold of God will hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come, inherit a kingdom prepared before the foundation of the world. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the blessings of salvation. And Lord, we know that we've only skimmed the surface of this tremendous subject tonight. We've said so little really, Lord, in the time that we have been given. But Lord, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy mercy to us. Oh God, I pray for those here tonight who are still strangers to grace and to God. Oh God, I pray
that they'll search the Scriptures. That they'll search the Scriptures. That they'll find out whether these things are true or not. And Lord, we know they are true, but that men and women will be wise. That they'll not just disregard the Word of God and disregard the teaching of Christ. Turn away from the Gospel. And Lord, I pray that they'll not just listen to a minister or a preacher or a priest, but Lord, that they will search the Scriptures for themselves to find out what is true and what is not true. For the Word of God is the Word of God. Oh God, may they be wise and seek Thy truth and not be satisfied until they know Thy truth. Oh God, have mercy. Have mercy upon our nation and have mercy upon the people of Enniskillen and County Fermanagh and this province of Ulster. Have mercy upon this nation of ours. That they might turn to God's truth and God's word. Bless your word to our hearts. Tonight in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. 315 is our closing hymn. Could I just say, as you're looking up the place, maybe there's someone here tonight and the Lord has spoken to you. You're not saved. And you want to be saved. Or at least you're concerned about your soul and you want to talk to us about spiritual things. Well, here's God's servant. We can't save you, but we can point you to the one who can. We can open the Bible and we can point to the Savior. If we can be any help, please wait behind in the meeting and speak to us after the service is over. 315, trusting in Jesus, my Savior divine, I have the witness that still He is mine. Have you the witness? Great are the blessings He giveth to me. Oh, I am happy as mortal can be. My friend, I'll never be any more happier than I am tonight. I can't be any more happier because I'm on my way to heaven. Are you happy tonight? Let's stand and sing these words and think of them as we sing this lovely hymn. 315. Amen. Let's all stand to sing.